Good evening and welcome on into the Wide World of Wargaming Warhammer 40,000 segment. As always, I am your host, Vince Morgado. Joining me, Mr. Michael Schwartz.
What's up, everyone?
And Mr. Alexander Gonzalez.
Hey, what's up?
So number one, everybody celebrate. Warriors beat the Blazers. Fuck the Western Conference. Let's go. All right.
We both know that the East is just as good as the West. We've had this debate before, Vince.
Are we going to have this argument again?
I mean, we had it off air, so we might as well have it on air. But anyway, we are going to be covering Warhammer tonight, not the NBA, although it would be an interesting topic switch. Right. So we're going to be looking at the Caledonian Mayhem event in rainy England, the Alamo GT in the great state of Texas, the Cataclysm Crown 40K ITC Grand Tournament, better known as the Team Happy Points Farm event, and then the Alberta Classic. Right on. First up, starting over in England, let's take a look. Won by a Mr. Malik Amin Rubio of Team Draco with an Imperial Soup list. Basically, he's running things that used to have armor values and then 30 guardsmen.
that's a good way of saying it.
It's three tank commanders, three custodes, grav tanks, one praetor, 30 guardsmen, and a knight crusader, because you'll never see another knight Castellan.
This is the post Castellan meta you're watching. Lots of tanks that, yeah.
Why not? No, Schwartz, go ahead. I was going to say,
this is a post-Castellan meta, simply because you have these tanks that before wouldn't see the light of day because they would be taken out one shot by this bad boy, and now they're like, oh, look, we're good. Especially the Grav tank from the Adeptus Custodes. That thing is packing 8 shots, strength 8, minus 3 AP, D3 shots, ignores move penalty, hits on 2s. Oh, and also packing another 6 shots, strength 6, minus 2 AP in 1 damage. That's a lot of DACA coming out from those free Custodes. Tanks, and super efficient because he's next to a fucking shield captain on a bike, so he can fly around. They're basically rerolling the hit, and my god, it's beautiful. Oh, and also three Lehman Russes with Gatling guns that are all tank company commanders. What's not to love about this list?
It's two Gatling cannon, Gatling tanks, and a regular company commander.
Oh, my apologies. Is he taking the relic battle cannon?
No, the regular company commander is just the walking company commander. Probably for the
My bad. I must have misunderstood.
Either for Grand Strategist or the Aquila.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, it is a I like this list. It is super dope. This is super dope. Very heavy.
He doesn't actually list his relics. Which is kind of not fun.
Yeah, that's interesting. No.
Alex, are you seeing him? Am I missing him?
No. I'm just saying, like, it could depend on the format, maybe. I'm just trying to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. It might have been, also, it could be rules of an event. Maybe you're not required to spend your, to list your relics before the game.
Yeah, probably. I mean, either way, this list packs a lot of DACA. Super tough and survivable now that the Castellan doesn't look at a tank and just make it disappear.
Also, if this was football, they'd call it deceptive. It's a deceptively fast list between the three grav tanks and the two tank commanders plus the knight.
Oh yeah. And also the shield captain on the Dong Eagle jet bike that is moving. Looking up quickly at the stats of a Dong Eagle jet bike, I believe they movement is number.
It's probably 14 normally, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's moving number 14. I wasn't sure if it was 12 or 14. I wanted to look it up and be historically accurate. Because you got to be that. All right.
Oh, yeah. It's all about accuracy. We apply high journalistic standards on this show.
Yo, moving on. So, second place at this event.
Thank you. Alex is literally the conductor of the train. We're leaning to one side. He leans over with like 50 rocks on his waist like, no, we're not coming off the track.
Second place was a Marcus Hinson. He brought Imperial Knights. Yep.
Well, you know what else? He brought Skitarii. Like actual real things Skitarii.
Okay, you know what? That's the Rusty 18, though.
Yeah, it's actually a Rusty 18. He's not wrong because he's bringing one extra Skitarii Ranger. It's two five-man Skitarii Ranger, one five-man Skitarii Vanguard, a six-man Skitarii Ranger because I guess he had the extra 12 points. And, yeah, the good old Rusty 18.
This is just showing exactly how cheap you can make double battalion for certain Imperial armies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at this. If he had dropped the Scions to a regular squad of guardsmen, he'd have another 30 points for his knights.
Well, he doesn't really need the extra 30 points for his knights. He's already putting 468 into each one of them. He's running three Knight Crusaders. Each one's packing a Thermal Lance, freaking Avenger Gatling Cannon, the Ion Storm Missile Pod. So much DACA.
I'm really interested in the fact that they're all three Thermal Lances. Not one of them is a rapid fire battle cannon.
Well, I mean, it's significantly cheaper to run. The Thermal Cannon is 76 compared to 100 points for the rapid battle cannon. So you're talking about basically 75 points between the three of them.
Yeah, but that basically means that if he had sacrificed his whatever assassin he wants, he'd have had double battle cannons on everything and just been able to clear, you know, two units a turn between that and the Gatling cannon.
Hey, wow. This list is just a generic Imperial list. Can we talk about third place? Because I want to talk about third place.
Okay.
I think we should kind of comment on the fact that no matter what happens, people are like, no, fuck you, I'm bringing knights.
Yeah.
I mean, the knights are good. I mean, the Castellan needed to go up in points, but everything else in the Knight Codex is still freaking rock solid. I mean, you know, they're awesome robots, giant freaking robots that are really cheap.
The four up the Ion Shield switching from a three up at best to a four up at best, it definitely kicks Knight players in the balls pretty bad. But you know, it's really
not if there's
like
three of them.
Well, yeah, not if there was three of them because he still has the fire. Their offensive output has in no way, shape, or form decreased at all. The only thing that's happened is the one particular knight is a little bit more expensive, the Castellan, and yeah, sure, none of them can get a three up invul. Just pretend like you didn't, you know, it's just like any knight player, they had one of them with a three up invul, the rest of them would have four up or five up invul anyways. Yeah. So really, this isn't a huge deal for them. It just means that other people can keep up and actually take them out more effectively. And yeah. This by no means decreases the – if this guy goes first, none of this matters anyways, you know?
I mean, fair point. I mean, what it has prevented is people shoehorning a Castellan into a freaking Imperium list. You have to dedicate yourself to doing other knights, but they're still so money. It's like uber nice.
Yeah, well, I really want to go in on this third place one. So, you know, this third place guy – He does have Eldari here. It's an Anthony Chu. Anthony Chu was a bold one. So he brought, and let's count it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Flyers.
Oh my God. He brought eight flyers. That's ridiculous.
For listeners at home, he had 94 points. He brought three Crimson Hunter Exarchs. He brought two Hemlock Wraith Fighters. He brought three Nightwing Flyers. And he brought
A Farseer and three Fire Prisms, and that's it.
Yeah. A Farseer on a fucking jet bike, man, I remind you. There is not a single infantry troop in this entire army. It is literally the Eldar Air Force.
Remember how we said that maybe with the fact we were going to see less Eldar Flyer lists?
Oh my God.
Honestly, my triple pylon list would have loved this because I'd be like, wait, I am plus one to hit with everything.
Yeah, but it's still a light
dog. I mean, this list is...
Yeah, but he's also BS2 with a plus one to hit. You're like, oh, I'm minus one to hit? Great, I still hit on twos.
That's true, yeah.
I mean,
also,
this thing is
Imotech
super
when you
gnarly.
Need him.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is super gnarly. Also, I love the Nightwing making yet another appearance because it showed up 2 weeks ago when we were discussing another list. for a GT win. And maybe they're not a freaking slot filler. I mean, two Bright Lances, two Shuriken Cannons, and a Crystal Target.
He couldn't take any other flyers.
Yeah, no, this is purposefully like, let's screw around. Right. The only other way for him to do this, he would have to break being Craft World Eldar. The only way for him to even make this relevant otherwise is to have like a flyer wing detachment that's Dark Eldar in addition to his Eldar, and he's no longer Craft World, you know? So
he went full Craft World?
You never go full Craft World.
You never go full Craft World. Apparently he went full Craft World. He didn't come home empty-handed, though.
No, he did. No. He did pick up a nice bronze medal to go with his to serve his cheese on.
Tasty.
It's like his, in this guy's house, instead of serving cheese on plates, he serves on bronze medals.
I'm just like blown away by the convenience of this army. It's just like,
can you imagine transporting this though? It's all vehicles.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to picture taking this through the airport security.
Oh,
it's
God,
just
I
not
just had
going
a heart attack.
Well right now in my mind.
No, it's not.
All right, well, kudos to the Eldar Air Force for sticking it through.
Yeah, but we're still, you know, let us say well done while withholding much of our respect.
I mean, all right, fine, fair point.
Next up, we're gonna saunter on over to Texas for the Alamo GT, the only major to take place since our last episode with 85 players. Mr. Matthew Allais with the Thousand Sons. What did he call this list?
He called it the Rubric Meme Team.
The Rubric Meme Team.
Wow. That's fucking phenomenal. Oh, my God. Rubric Space Marines. I haven't seen that in forever.
He has, and let's count him up. He's got...
Here it comes.
15, 30. You know, he's got 35 Rubric Marines in this list.
Jesus.
Dude. Oh. Also, 56 Zangors. I mean,
damn. And 56 Zangors. He's got a total of two Terminator Sorcerers, or three
Terminator Sorcerers
in Terminator armor, Armin, and two Zinch Demon Princes.
Dude, that's a lot of fucking... What this is a lot of psychic powers behind a ton of bodies.
Well, not even a ton of bodies, because they are still just one wound. Even Zangors, remember, in 40K are one wound. But, like... These Rubric Marines, they're not hard. They're not easy to move. You know, they're the equivalent essentially of, you know, 8 to 10 wounds worth.
Remember,
of
they're also remember they have all his dust. So if you're one damage shot, you might as well be they might as well be Terminators.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's exactly correct. What they are.
Correct. Yeah.
Plus, their Inferno Bolt guns are super good with that -2 AP.
Yeah, I mean, they clear cut regular infantry. You have the Demon Princes that. You can't that drop down behind the Zangors once you deep strike and then charge over the top of them.
You can't. Oh yeah, I guess you can again.
Yeah, you can again.
Also, I didn't realize this, but it's a good point. So every single Rubric Marine squad is basically four Rubric Marines and one aspiring sorcerer. So this list is literally packing. Let's count them up. This list is packing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. 11, 12, 13 fucking psychers. That is a ton of smite, especially coming from the aspiring sorcerers. Dude, that is just
now,
holy.
Dude, I just remind me, they all, as you cast more smites, they do technically become one harder every time.
Not for Thousand Sons. Those are one of the two.
Thousand Sons is still the case, just not the weak version of Thousand Sons.
Oh, okay. So basically, they could still just literally spam their entire army with smite every turn.
Yeah.
The only problem that I could see with this list is how immobile it is. Like, that's my only question.
Well, you can deep strike most of this army. The two Zangors can come in, can be deep struck with stratagem. The Demon Princes are both have, all the Demon Princes have wings, so they're fairly mobile. The Sorcerers and Terminator armor can be deep strike as well. And Araman on the disc, his movement is...
It's probably a jet. They're normally a jet bike, right? A disc is normally a jet bike equivalent.
Yeah, I'm going to look him up right now.
But I mean, 35, fully a third of your units are, you know, 6-inch walking.
Yeah, fair point, but you can move most of those guys. I mean, what I'm trying to say is you can deep strike the two big screeners and the Zangors, and then everything and all the other major players are just like really mobile. Armon on a disc is movement 12, and he also has a fly keyword. That's also very critical because all these...
it's a jump pack instead.
It's a jump pack, yeah. But what's critical about all the Demon Princes on wings and the Sorcerers deep striking is they make... Well, not so much the Sorcerers, but the Demon Princes and Armon can basically get around terrain far more easily. So it's planning a lot of hiding seek and moving at critical junctures.
Right, but, you know, once you start losing these five-man squads that will go down to something like a Battle Cannon or or an Avenger Gatling Cannon... you know, you're in trouble because you just don't have the models to hold objectives anymore.
I mean, I still count 56 Zangors. That's
yeah,
still
but they're demons. They have a 5-up or a 4-up at best.
Yeah, but okay, fair. But I mean, you can spend the CP to keep them on the board if they lose a lot, so they're not losing to leadership.
Okay, let me rephrase this. What do you think is going to happen if these two units of Zangors get shot by a squad of Ludas?
Okay, they're not going to shoot them.
Shoot? I mean, you could shoot the Rubric Marines, but I don't know why you would.
Well, I mean, fair point. They're going to die to a bunch of Ludas. But you know what's not going to die to a bunch of Ludas because they're shooting the Zangors? All the characters behind the Zangors.
Right, but the Zangors are only going to hold up for one turn.
Two.
Technically, that's all they need.
Yeah.
No, they need that. They need that long for some to allow the Demon Princes to charge. But what happens when you fall back from the Demon Princes?
You get psychic blasted.
Well, you still get to do something before they blast you, and it. Let's be fair, a Demon Prince is good, but not unkillable.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, this list is clearly threat overload. I mean, if you don't have any psychic buffs, though, he's going to tear you to pieces in the psychic phase. Let's just be
No. Let's be perfectly clear. There is no psychic defense against this list. You don't have enough. No one is bringing enough casters to stop 13 psychers, six of which cast two or three spells.
Yeah.
Like, no one has enough for that. Maybe Grey Knights.
Even then, because...
No, because Grey Knights have it every... Because literally everyone in the Grey Knight army can dispel.
Oh, that's a fair point.
But that's the only one I could think of.
Yeah, so everyone but the Rubric Marines can cast two, and Ahriman can cast... I believe he can cast three, but I'll be surprised. He can cast
this,
three.
Settle this debate. Me and Schwartz have been arguing all night.
I don't care enough.
Wow.
So hold up. A guy runs 35 Rubric Marines and you don't have anything?
I mean, I love the idea of the 30 Rubric Marines, especially with Bolter Drill. But, I mean, it would depend on his matchups. I mean, his playstyle is going to differ no matter who he's playing, you know?
There's only so much you can do. This list is, like... One of the problems with this list is you know exactly what everyone can do the minute it touches down. He doesn't have heavy weapons. He doesn't have, you know, anything with multiple shooting attacks, really. Like, anything that comes out of this, everything that comes down from this list, you know it's either going to hit you with its sword every turn, or it's going to blast you with a bolter every turn.
Or it's going to be able to do sweet-ass psychic powers and hit you with its sword at the same time.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's with this much psychic casting, he can do basically anything he wants in the psychic phase. I mean, just like all the book powers that Thousand Suns is packing, which are some of the best powers, mind you, in 40K. Like, he can do real good.
Do you guys think maybe he should have dropped one of the Terminator sorcerers and one squad of Rubrics? Well, no, I guess if he's going for triple battalion, it doesn't work. I was trying to figure out if there's a way for him to ever get to fit like Scarab Terminators in here.
I don't think so. I mean, also there's something to be noted about the fact that he's packing a colossal amount of CP. He's bringing in
a shitload of command points. Yeah. This is a guard level number of command points.
Yeah, so like there's serious props to this list. It is packing a lot of CP. You can use all the useful stratagems that Thousand Suns like. like Alex, I agree with Alex. All you need is one turn with a Zangor screening in order to set up everything you want to do in the psychic phase and close combat phase, and then it's ball game from there. Clearly, because he went 5-0 now against tough. Maybe it is matchup dependent, but holy Toledo, the list that I run, like the Space Marine Brigade would just be like slowly melted in the psychic phase against this thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you're talking about against most armies, they're just going to smite half your list off the board every turn.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this is the best. I've never seen this many psychic power.
This is a lot. all right, I think we've given this as much as we all love it, we've given it enough time. Alex, this one's for you. Talk to us about Antonio Cedeno.
Yeah, seriously.
I talk to Antonio on a semi-regular basis, and you know, he, myself, and a few other players have definitely been bouncing lists off of one another to the point where, you know, I feel like a few of us all have very similar variations of the same general list, you know, different flavors of vanilla. So I might have vanilla bean, but he's certainly running French vanilla here. So, you know, right now he does start off with something that's been all too popular since we talked to Chad a few episodes ago, you know, the triple doom scythe. That's been a really good breaker just because of the targeting stratagem for those 3d3 mortal wounds. He does have Emotech the Stormlord in a battalion with just a normal generic overlord with a war scythe. He then has 3 units of 10 Tesla Immortals, which I always run 3 units of 5. So he's got those extra Tesla OBSEC by making them 3x10. He then has in the battalion he then has 9 Tomb Blades. He has 9 Tomb Blades with shield vanes and double Tesla carbines as well. Just to add, you know, because that's 4 Tesla shots each at 24 inches. So that's great on each Tomb Blade. He then finalizes everything with a Cloak Cryptech and 3 Doomsday Arcs. So he's got a lot of long-range firepower. He's got mid-range anti-horde. And then the Doom Scythes are a little bit of a combo between some extra anti-horde or light vehicle sniping plus the stratagem. And the good thing is, you know, Doom Scythes aren't super expensive. They're not really great by themselves, but like worst case scenario, if your opponent wants to avoid the stratagem where they can pump out mortal wounds and they kill one of them, well then you have 2 more D3 shot versions of the Doomsday Arcs gun, mm-hmm. essentially floating around the table. So worst case scenario, you just have a less shot version of a Doomsday Arc that'll be able to still hit board wide just like the Doomsday Arcs will.
This is nice.
It's nice, but I think it's also going to show that the FAQ is relatively helpful for Necrons. You know, there's we were joking a little earlier in that same chat. You know, we were like, oh, man, just can't wait to see the people go like, Necrons OP, please nerf. You know, because I'm sure Games Workshop would. but no salt there.
Oh, poor Alex. Okay, you hop.
Did you pull a knife out of your back before you said that, just to add in the pain that we heard? Because that was real. I felt that myself.
There's so much suffering inside of that statement. It's like, yeah.
Well, that's why you play Xeno in 40K, is because you hate yourself.
Fuck. Yeah. Right.
Non-Eldar
Xeno. It's cool. It's cool to see Necrons do well, and Antonio's a good player. So, you know, it's great. I was looking at his final 2 matchups. I mean, his last opponent brought just a butt ton of Venoms, and the guy before that was an Orc player. So, you know, he did play a pretty wide range of individuals. And, it's good on them. You know, it's a good list. There's plenty of Mortal Wound output for a non-psychic army. It's got plenty of high damage, high AP shooting where need be. And, of course, it's got that anti-horde element, which is ever important.
Mm-hmm. Always critical in this meta.
Yeah.
And to borrow a phrase from the X-Wing segment, Jeff Wilder has something he likes to say called high variance lists. This is one of them, because if you start rolling a lot of sixes – your opponent is just going to start picking up pieces of his army every single shooting
phase. That is true.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, that even with that D3 Mortal Wound stratagem with the targeting algorithm for the Doom Scythes, you know, unfortunately, it's not like you use the command point and then an enemy, you place a point in the battlefield within 24 inches of all three Doom Scythes. And for every enemy unit within 3 inches of that point on the battlefield, you know, you roll a dice, and on a 4+, it'll affect the unit. On a 5+, if it's a character, it'll affect the character. And you just roll 3d3 mortal wounds.
Oh, God.
So if you get lucky and you roll that 5+ on the character, and you just roll like an average of what, like 5 or 6?
3d3 average is it's 6. It's technically six.
It's six. So you'll typically be killing most normal characters, and then you're hitting those vehicles. You know, you do that. Like Vince mentioned, high variance. You roll those 3 5s or 6s, and you do 9 mortal wounds. You're just like, sweet.
We're done. Move next.
That is painful.
Get this guy off my board. Get him out of here.
That is painful.
Yeah.
If you're right, if it's high variance, because if you're rolling poorly, oof, that is just a bunch of nothing.
Yeah, but that's like any 40K game. If you're rolling poor, it feels like you're throwing bricks at a wall, and then it hits you. They bounce off and hit you in the face back.
Yeah, that's true. You can have the best strategy in game, but if your opponent's rolling nothing but sixes and you're rolling ones and twos, you're getting barbecued.
That is the correct answer. let's have a look at Mr. Andrew Ford with another. Let me go get a pan and turn on the stove because it's time for a little more soup. Looking at an Imperium soup list, guys. Is there anything special about this, or can we just move on?
I like the fact that he actually did bring a Castellan post FAQ. You know, he brought a Castellan, a Crusader, and a Gallant. In my local area, all my Knight players, besides the ones who have like feverishly kept to the Castellan or always played with Forge World Knights, which didn't see a change in points anyways. Most people I know, they've really switched over to just bringing Gallant and just saying, fuck it, I'm going to bring 3 Gallants and they're the cheapest knight and I don't care if I shoot you off the table because I'm going to be in combat turn 1 or definitely turn 2, and here's over 60 wounds that you now have to.
And he's packing House Crest again. If fond members remember my first time on this podcast, I was all about
the House Crest. You did mention House Crest.
I like it.
Schwartz. So Alex, sorry to interrupt. Do we want Schwartz, go ahead. Remind everyone.
Well, I mean, House Crest is, oh wow, I've had a bit too much whiskey then, because I'm suddenly drawing a blank.
He's like, let me tell you about.
I just went.
Listen. I love you, man.
Listen, let me tell you about House Crest. They are.
I love House
Crest. They are the Milwaukee Bucks of.
Oh my God!
You can reroll hits in the fight phase for the model with this house tradition when an attorney was charged from heroic convention. So you can. Reroll failed hits in the fight phase with models with this household tradition. An attorney charge, was charged, or perform a heroic intervention. So it's really critical for the Gallant. And it is packing. There is a special relic that allows additional damage to be done, which I believe he's placing on the house Knight Castellan. So that means he's going to be pumping out even more DACA with that bad boy. And to be honest, a Knight Castellan is still well worth it at 693 points. I don't think it's that unplayable anymore, to be 100% clear. But to each their own.
There's nothing else to talk about this list. I think that it's a good list. I think that it's a fine list. Wow. I think that it is an Imperium soup list.
Better known as... Into the trash it goes. No.
No, I mean, it's good enough to get top 3. It's by no means a trash list at all. And, you know, I'm sure the player is great. It's just, you know, you see a few Imperium soup lists, you see a lot of them.
Yeah. All right. Next, we're going to move on to the Cataclysm Crown Warhammer 40,000 ITC. Mm. What is it with these people and the 50-word event descriptions? Jesus. So this was, as we said, the Team Happy Point Farm Grand Tournament. First place, Mr. Justin Curtis. Wait, third place, Tony Grappando. Fourth place, Daniel Sansone. Unfortunately, who's second place? I don't know anything about
second from place. AOS.
Alan Pajama Pants, for those who aren't listening. He's taking a break. Who knows? Who knows what's going on with that? However, I will say, I'd really love to go through both Justin, Alan's, and Tony's list, but they didn't upload their damn list into the fucking app. So, hey, great guys, I'm sure, but if you do want your list talked about, yes, you got to upload your list. You know, it's just something you do nowadays. It takes...
Team Happy being shady?
No. Okay, I wouldn't say it's them being shady, but...
That's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Is that what that
okay,
is
okay, we're
right
playing
now?
Good Cop, Bad Cop. Are we a buddy cop movie now?
That's what a podcast is for.
That's fair. However... In the grand scheme of things, I think it's important for us to give attention to those who did upload their lists, starting with eighth
place. Oh, man, maybe I should have played this GT. Maybe people would have...
I just love how hard... I love how hard he emphasized eighth place.
I mean, no, I mean, I honestly would love to talk about as many people as we can in this podcast, but
yes,
if you don't upload your list, we ain't going to talk about your army. We ain't going to talk about how you did.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this mighty eighth place list.
Andrew Connor with the mighty 2-2-1s record.
Hey, that is not a shameful record because that is my lifetime scoring percentage, I think, in 40K.
Oh, 40-40-20? Very nice.
Probably a little higher,
like a,
actually.
If like a hockey record.
Yes, yes, yes. Moving on. Okay, so let's hear about this mighty 2-2-1 list.
That's my point. That's why we're not going to – that's why I'm just saying fuck it. We made fun of it already.
All right, so we won't talk about the eighth place. We'll cut before
let's
him.
Do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. All righty.
Who wants to jump in about Storm?
Well, I got to find it.
All right. Well – while we get into that, we are going to be taking a look at the Storm of Silence GT, which I used to go to religiously year by year. This is at a place called Gamers Haven in Spokane, Washington. It's run by Dan and Bob. They are great guys. They're fantastic people. And, you know, I haven't really been showing up to their 40K GTs. I've been showing up to their AOS GTs a lot more recently, but they run a great event. It's they have an awesome two-story building, game store. I do believe that they're expanding to add some food and booze into the mix pretty soon as well. Yeah. And I got to say, you know, our buddy Paul has been there. I used to go there almost religiously. Michael, if you want to get some 40K or AOS in, they got great tables, great stuff. I got to tell you, at their events, they normally run two events a year for both 40K and AOS. One of them is always, for the 40K one, the one in the fall, the Harvester of Souls, is always a very much more fluff-driven but still ITC 100% competitive event. But just each mission, each table has its own slightly different missions or its own unique mission. And then in the yeah, and that one's all based around Mungun Ra. So the storm, the Harvester of Souls in the spring and summer, they got the Storm of Silence. It's based around Jayne Zarr. So they got to keep the Eldar theme up. And it's just 100% ITC championship missions. They have awesome prize support. They do a good job getting everything in order. And the best part is right in their parking lot, they got the Black Pearl, which is a kind of divey restaurant bar. So right when you're done, you just go across the street and get loaded.
Yeah, that's perfect. What more could you need after both an amazing victory or a crushing defeat than to go drink alcohol?
Oh, man, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a little loaded there.
Yeah,
but
either or, it applies perfectly.
Yeah. Now, you know, when we take a look at that event, it did have exactly 60 people, which I think is exactly the amount of people that you can fit in the store, which is great. So they were able to hit that major event status.
And applied to the fire code.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, first place was Zachary Nelson of Mugu Legion with his Eldari army. And we had second place with Kristen Broxson. I'm so sorry if I mispronounced that, with their Tau Sept. And the third place winner was Scott DeWinker Wilkie. Also butchering that.
That's an amazing last name.
That is an amazing last name. And, you know, he got third place. But when we keep on looking down the line, we definitely do have some other well-known household names like Ben Cromwell of Team Zero Comp, Alex McDougal of the Imperial Pimps. You know, we got Justin Witten of the Northwest Mercs, Josh Bagwell of Needlessly Malicious. We got Sean Morgan.
Oh, I know what team that is.
The Needlessly Malicious?
Yeah. Do you know who that is?
Oh, yeah, of course.
For those who don't know, that's the world famous 40K shit talking tactics Facebook group team.
Oh, for reals?
That's exactly who that is.
Yes. Ooh. Yes.
Ooh, I got to go and meet this person now. Ideally when I'm drunk.
Well, right. Well, you know, Josh is also bringing Gene Steeler Cult, and he's well known for Gene Steeler Cult the last few years. So he's a good player.
What? Eighth place got Slaanesh. All right, I'm going to look at this list and copy the shit out of it. Bear with me for a second. You guys continue.
Well, while he copies that list, Vince, let's take a look at that first place person. You know, Zachary did bring, again, Eldari. You know, he didn't bring eight flyers, which I'm disappointed in.
I'm not.
But he did bring six. He brought three Razor Ring Jet Fighters, and he brought two Crimson Hunters and a Hemlock.
Everything
so,
in moderation, Alex. Everything in moderation.
I mean, you
That's
know,
like saying,
Alex, it's the difference between going everything you shoot at is going to be minus one or minus two to oh, hey, get Vect, and everything you're shooting at is going to be minus one or minus two.
Yeah, true.
It's, and, you know, it's fuck your couch with a side of get Vect.
You know, he's got a lot going on here. I mean, obviously flyers are dominant in the Eldar list we've been seeing lately. You know, he does have an Artark and a Farseer on bike. He's got some Storm Guardians, and he's got three Wave Serpents also.
Mm. Yeah, the Wave Serpents are becoming popular again.
I was going to say, we're starting to see more of that.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really blame them. I'll pull up Night Serpent. Wave Serpent has a very nice profile.
Well, yeah, but I feel like the Wave Serpent every other year gets OP, or every other edition either goes OP or just like okay.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the Serpent Shield is still very applicable because what it does, for people that don't know, reduces damage from ranged weapons by one to a minimum of one. So a lot of multi-damage things are just going to be reduced efficiency. Plus, it can do the D3 mortals if it chooses to, but most people choose to keep the damage reduction. And
It's because you're going to get more. There's almost no reason to ever burn that, to burn the shield at this point in where the game is, because you'll just get so much more out of that standing minus one to damage.
Yeah. Yeah,
you just get more mileage out of it.
Completely agree. Plus, you can hide whatever the fuck you want inside of it. I mean, what's he using it to? Like, what's he hiding though? Not. Oh, is he hiding his guardians and his characters inside?
More likely, I mean, it probably is just for the guardians.
Yeah, it looks like it because he wouldn't be hiding any of the planes inside of a freaking tank. That would be crazy.
Oh, that's not legal? Damn.
Dude, if an Eldar player told me he could do that, I would believe it. I'd be like, all right, your codex has been broken enough in the past that I could totally buy this.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
Because, you know, they ignore all the other rules in 40K, so why not this one? Just using the Wave Serpents to freaking hide his Storm Guardians and Guardian Defenders in it, because everything else would be you would want up front. And also all his HQs are Skyrunners, i.e. they're on jet bikes. Interesting.
I mean, look, you're playing to the strengths of that army, which is move fast, hit hard, don't be there when it's the other guy's turn.
Yeah.
It really doesn't, you know, it does not take a military genius to break down an Eldar list, despite my own ego. Who do we have second coming up? Mr. Kristen Broxton with the Tau Sept. Also a pretty good team name, currently undecided.
Yeah.
What do we got here, guys?
We got the Taunar Supremacy armor. Oh, not God. Something you really see that often.
Try never see it.
Try never. Yeah, I think that this might have been a bit of a spoiler army. You know, he had the 2x fusion eradicators, the burst cannons that come stock, and then the pulse ordnance multi-driver. So I think that people just weren't expecting this, or when they saw it on the table, they were probably like, oh, so this is like a storm surge.
Right? I was just going to say, yeah. They're like, wait, is this like a special Riptide? it's like, no.
Wait.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you guys something that'll make you mad? It's got the battlesuit keyword.
Oh, you mean you can freaking put freaking frisbees in front of this bad boy and refuse to die?
That's like the least of the scary things about it, dude. Like,
oh no, I pulled up the full profile. For those who don't know, the 2 fusion eradicators are pack. Or each one is heavy 5, strength 8, -4 AP, D6 damage. Oh, range 24.
They're really big multi meltas.
Yeah,
he's got 10 multi meltas.
Oh my
shots.
God! Yeah, the deep. wait, I'm confused. The pulse ordnance multi.
You know what that reminds me of? No, Schwartz, I gotta interrupt you. You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of that meme of the girl getting hit in the face with all the hot dogs.
Oh god.
That's what that probably feels like.
Yeah, that's horrible. Also, I didn't know this thing. This thing is packing 30 fucking wounds.
Yes.
30 wounds.
At a 2+, 2+, 5+, and a 4+ if against certain things.
It's a 3+ now. It's a 3+, 5+. So slow your roll. But it is toughness 8, which is bananas. Holy Toledo, this thing is tough. Also, it's pulse ordnance multi-driver. Here's a keyword you don't see often. It has 2 weapon profiles, macro 6 or macro D6. Someone remind me what the fuck macro does.
Macro means you cannot fire. The guy with the pylon will be able to tell you.
Alex, this is your expertise.
So when you have a macro weapon, it says that you can't move and shoot this weapon at all unless you have the like Titanic keyword, which almost everything that does have macro weapon is Titanic. That's not a surprise. Then you can't fight. Yeah, you also can't fire Overwatch with a macro weapon.
Christ.
Big FYI.
But you can still Overwatch
surprise,
with 10 multi-meltas.
And burst cannon and multi and smart missiles.
Also, it because of its vigilance defense system, it can reroll once to hit in Overwatch.
God bless America.
So I didn't get to finish the pulse ordnance because Alex had to educate me on what macro meant. But first, 2 weapons options: concentrated bombardment, range 72, macro 6, strength 12, AP -4, 4 damage each. Or you can go for macro 2d6, strength 8, -3 AP, 3 damage each.
Now, real quick, Michael, it is important to note that I missed one other incredibly important part about the macro rule. The macro rule also states that when you attack another Titanic unit or a Titanic keyword unit, you double damage.
Oh my god!
So that's 8 damage and 6 damage, respectively.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Okay.
You really can't say that. Come on, man.
I can.
Wow.
I have no shame. I'm allowed to say it.
Also, hilariously enough, thing is movement 16, which I never thought of Tau as being fast, but this thing is fast.
Why doesn't Paul run one of these?
Yes,
he does. He has,
yeah, he has
no
to
way.
One. This thing's been available for years.
I mean, he's got a Manta.
Exactly.
I'm sure
no
he's got one,
way.
Actually.
Oh, you know what? No, because he
it.
Used to hate him. He always, remember back when they just came out, Paul was like, these things suck. Him and Israel used to argue about it.
I'm pretty sure I've been grounded into the ground into a fine paste by Paul with one of these things. I can almost say for certain, but it gets a little blurry with Paul.
No, you probably got
cry
it
a lot.
From Paul. You probably got it from storm surges. This is the big dog. Remember?
I know. I'm aware. I've killed this thing multiple times, especially against Izzy.
I've actually never seen this on a table before.
Oh, I have.
Well, it's also important to note that it's also 1129 in points, so he doesn't have that many points left over. He doesn't even have a 1,000-point Tau army.
The rest of his list is like what? Drones and Fire Warriors?
He's got 3x5 Fire Warrior, like Min Fire Warrior units, Shadow Sun, a Kadri Fireblade, 2 3-man units of stealth battle suits. He then has another battalion with another Kadri Fireblade, a Cold Star battle suit with quad missiles and pure tide ship, which is his warlord. He then has 15 more just naked Fire Warriors, then 12 shield drones and 3x4.
Well, those 12 shield drones are standing all around that lovely town.
Yeah, every single direction. Is going
to
be
To note, it also has 4 smarts missile systems, which is,
and I'm sure it hits on something ludicrous like a 3-up.
No, it hits on a 2-up.
Oh Christ! Oh
yeah. So in summation, that is 16 strength 5 shots coming at you hitting on 2-up. That is either macro 6 or macro D6 with strength 12, minus 4 AP, 4 damage, or strength 8, minus 3 AP, minus 3 AP, 3 damage each, and 10 fucking long range meltas, all at a lovely hitting on 2s, and on a model that moves 16 inches. Honestly, I think the 16-inch movement is what catches people off guard, because if you were to tell me that thing moves faster than, like, 90% of the models in the game, I'd be like, no way, bro. Nah.
That's pretty crazy.
I mean, the Fusion Eradicators are range 24, and I thought, oh, that's really short range because he wants to be in the backfield. But no, with a 16-inch range, he's got a 16-inch move, he's got a 40-inch front range with those things.
Yeah, but you also don't want to outrun the drones, so it's probably not ever.
Hey, can we talk about one other list?
Yes, we can.
In Storm of Silence? Okay, Chris Pearson in last place, 60th place, 0-5. He had 51 Swiss points. His entire list was called I Get the Plus One. Okay, his army list was, you guys, this is a really long one, so just sit down. Battleforge, CP, Lords of War, 2,000 points, Warhound Scouting.
Yes.
Is this the same guy? Is this the same guy from LVO?
Nope. He brought 2 Inferno Cannons, Titan Inferno Cannons, but I just love it. Not only is his list called, I get the plus one.
I can't even, like.
But he also went 0-5. So this is like, I'm trying to get the wooden spoon. I will be getting the wooden spoon. And I will be getting best points.
Can we talk about the fact that he somehow still scored 15 points in a game despite never
51, 5-1, 5-1.
But in one game, he scored 15 points while never holding an objective once.
I mean, yeah, he probably was blowing something off the board every fucking turn.
All secondary points every single time.
I mean, yeah. I mean, two. Okay, wait. Can we read out the stats for this thing? Because it's a little. It is. I mean, yeah. It's not worth it, but it's hilarious. So it is strength 10, toughness 9, 35 wounds. Again, hitting on a 2-up, shooting. It's got void shields. Which, what do those things do?
I can tell you right now, they're not great. Void shields are basically an invulnerable save that also includes. Being able to save against mortal wounds. I think he starts at a 4, and I think it ends at a 6 as it degrades.
Remember when void shields were armor 12?
Yeah.
And if you couldn't hurt it, you couldn't hurt the model underneath them?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how broken this thing would be if those were still in existence? Like, you have to be able to damage toughness 10, or you cannot hurt the model.
So here's something hilarious about the Titan Inferno gun. So he's packing 2 of those bad boys, right? Range 18, heavy 46, strength 7, minus 3 AP, damage 4. This weapon hits automatically.
How fast does this thing move?
This thing moves
24 inches.
So, you know what's funny? If this thing went up against, like, the freaking Eldar Air Force that we talked about previously, it could literally barbecue 2 planes a turn if it could catch them.
It could move 24. It could absolutely catch him on a 4x6.
That's actually true.
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah,
all he has to do is stay in the middle, and there's nowhere they can go.
That's kind of hilariously adorable. But yeah, this thing is it's interesting to say the least.
You would literally have to stay away from it the entire game and never bother shooting.
Yeah. This thing is cute. This thing is cute.
It's cute until you see it across the table from you in an apocalypse game. And then you just start going, well, I'm really glad I showed up. There goes every expensive unit I brought.
Well, I mean, I would be happy to play this thing at a GT. I'd be like, oh, yay.
I mean, most people who play competitively would be happy to see it. But anyone who's there to have fun is probably going to go, oh, shit.
I mean, that's a fair point. So do people know the story about the LVO guy who brought his Warhound Scout Titan?
We mentioned it. Do we want to go over it again?
Well, I mean,
I honestly don't remember what loadout he had. I wasn't talking about the loadout.
So I was simply just saying that, like, when, because for LVO they did a full list review for every single one.
Yes.
And this came into the attention of like Reese and the team. Yep. Like a week before, that this one guy was bringing a Warhound Scout Titan, and they emailed the guy going, "It's not too late to change your list. You're gonna lose every single game because like you're not gonna be able to hold any objective." And he says, "Oh, I know. I'm gonna come here to blow shit up and have fun, and that's what I'm gonna do."
Dude, that's like the guy in The Flood that like the cops come to, and then like the fire department comes to, and then like the aid workers on a boat come to as like the water, as the house fills up, and they'll be like, are you sure you don't want to come with us? And you're like, nah.
And he's like, no. Dude, I'm just filling up the outboard. Y'all worry about me later.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you know who he is? He's the dude who's the denim tuxedo guy. Who always yells about sending it. That's who he is.
Excuse me, that's called
Canadian tuxedo. Canadian tuxedo. And he's just like, man, you know I'm still going to send it. That's him.
Oh, man. All right. I really hope he's local because I can't imagine putting this thing through a fucking x-ray machine.
So he's definitely Northwest.
All right.
Yeah, he's
okay,
Washington.
Okay. I'm just dying of laughter watching this thing on the battlefield.
Literally, here's what's going to happen. It is going to walk 24 inches every turn and then just point one gun in each direction and go, do you want me to roll? That's it. That's the entire conversation. The other guy goes, you know what, man? I'll just scoop him. I'll just pick him up. Like, it's
really... No, he just goes up and he goes medium rare. Well done.
Alex, I was going to say, do you honestly think there's a medium rare with this, with a volcano cannon?
The funny thing is it will always get Killmore as long as the game is going. It will always get Killmore because if you get Killmore on it, the game is over.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. That's true. So he also not only is it fun to play because you're almost giving your opponent a win, but you're also not giving your opponent a good win.
Yeah, he's getting like 17 points out of the win because he just gets no kill points, no bonuses, nothing.
So you become... You might lose, but you're also just a living roadblock. You are a speed bump. You are a speed bump, you know, like, and technically he can kill three units a turn. I mean, if you look at the Warhound Titan is not good in close combat. Sure, it's got stomps, but you see that its weapon skill
is
4.
It's a five up.
Oh, crap. My bad. It's a 5-up. So it's not great in close combat, but it's got a chance.
I'm not going to do it. No more memes.
This is amazing.
It's a 5-up stomp, but it's still like 3 attacks for every model, right? Or what? How does what is the multiplication on stomp again? Remind me.
No, this is they don't have. He doesn't have titan. Oh yeah, he has titanic stride. Okay,
100% has titanic stride.
Okay, so basically it is make 3 hit rolls for each attack made with this weapon instead of 1.
Okay.
He's got 4 attacks, so he's making 12 attacks, hitting minus on, 3 AP.
So he's hitting on 5. So like 4 or 5 hits, basically.
Yeah, 4 or 5 hits, minus 3 AP, damage 3. I mean, it's damage 3. That's pretty freaking gnarly, but still. Dude, I can't get over this list. By this list, I mean a model.
I was going to say, is it really a list, or did he just bring like a box? He could put this in the front seat of his car and run carpool with it.
I mean, if he has a newborn, he could just put like some parts on the newborn, and that would count as a Warhound Titan.
That's not the oldest joke that somehow is still funny.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, Chris Pearson, we salute you, sir, for being everything that is good and wholesome in this hobby. Guys, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
All right.
This is more fun reviewing events than we've had in a while. This week had some wild shit.
Yeah, I did.
It did. Keep on bringing the fun,
guys.
List,
just remember,
everyone.
We're all here. We're all out here to have a good time. And if you're not going to win LVO, just bring some stupid shit.
Oh, dude, you just got me thinking about bringing like a freaking Slaanesh Warhound now for like.
You LVO. Won't.
Fair point.
And on that deeply unsatisfying note, for Vincent, Michael, and Alex, signing off.
Have a good night.
Goodbye, have everyone. Good night. See you next week.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.